Good evening. I feel like we've kind of been on a journey, it seems like, this year. And it's not like we're not on any kind of new journey. We're always on this journey. We started this year with this anticipation of the Messiah, talking about Advent. And then at Christmas, I had a word and I talked to you about the greatest gift ever given, that being Jesus. And we've gone through all the teachings of Jesus' earthly ministry through this season since that time. And we've come to the final events in Jerusalem, if you heard it last night, and then now today. And now, in this night, we're not just talking about how to live the Christian life, okay? How to be encouraged in your spiritual warfare kind of world. We're here at the very heart of our faith. Okay, at the heart of the work of Yeshua. It's what this is about tonight. God gave him to us, that gift that I was telling you about, in order that he could do this thing, this very thing tonight. This act of self-denial, the act of self-sacrifice, and his purpose for humanity. So, tonight I want to talk to you about horticulture. doesn't that just follow? I want to talk to you about arboreal things. Arboreal things. I want to talk to you about trees. Okay. And this is a word that God gave me actually through this season from, I don't remember when it was, but you know, I got this word and I'm like, okay, Lord, that's really nice, but it doesn't really fit with anything I'm going to be preaching on, you know, through Epiphany and all of that. And then he brought it back to me and yes, I see now, Lord, when this is supposed to be done. You know, there are a lot of trees in the Bible, okay? And there are some very important trees in the Bible. You may have heard of the legend of the dogwood, you know, how maybe it was the wood of the cross and the redbud tree, that and its relationship to Judas. And, you know, these come to mind this time of year, and certainly the Christmas tree and Christmas pine, another one of those important trees for us that you won't find in the Bible, really. But trees are essential to our understanding of the faith. And that's what I'm going to tell you about tonight. The faith that we professed is about trees. So, where do we find our first trees? Well, you have to go to Genesis chapter 2. Go way back to the very beginning of the book. And in 2 verse 9, you hear this. The Lord God made all kinds of trees. Trees, did you hear that? Grow out of the ground. Trees that were very pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of a garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, from it you will certainly die. Now understand, he put no restrictions on anything in the garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil, correct? He said that, and nothing but. There's that one little but there, you know. Adam was not restricted from eating from the tree of eternal life. It was right there too. That's the one that we sometimes forget about because we think so much of that. Oh no, why did he have to do that, you know? The tree of eternal life was right there. And man, Adam, was not restricted from eating from it. That scripture that I just read to you right there tells us that. Here, if you don't believe me, I'll read it again. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge and good and evil. And he commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He didn't say anything about the tree of life. The tree of eternal life was there. It was right there, freely offered. And they chose knowledge. And we all know what happened then, right? But you know, this isn't the end of the story about the tree of life, okay? We hear of it again in chapter 3, okay? Now you understand, chapter 3, things go bad, right? Eve gives the fruit to Adam and they both eat it. They realize that they're naked. They hide from God. He realizes they ate it from the tree of knowledge. And certain curses are then pronounced, you know, because of that. And then we come to this, chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. To guard the way to the tree of life. Now, was God just being mean and vindictive at this point? You know, he had by not letting him go to the tree of life, you know, he pronounced these curses upon him. And then did he just say, well, you know, you can't have the tree of life either? No, of course he wasn't. God is not mean or vindictive at all. He was protecting man. That's why he did that. If man would then gain eternal life in the state of sin that he was in, knowing good and evil, he would remain eternally in sin, with no reprieve, no ability, no way out at all. So God was protecting Adam and Eve from that fate. That's why the formidable angels were there with their swords. God was being merciful because he had a plan. He knew what he was doing. Does. Now we're going to see the tree of life again, okay? And you have to go to the other end of the book, Revelation. The very end. You see it at the very beginning. You see it at the very end. And in Revelation, in chapter 2, a letter has been written to the church in Ephesus. And he says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know this. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And then if we go to the very end of the book, the very last chapter in the entire Bible, it says in chapter 22, down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees or for the healing of the nations. And then it goes on and it says, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. If anyone takes away from this scroll the prophecy, they will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in the scroll. And that's how the book ends. You see, it is once again offered to Christians. It talks about washing your robes. Well, washing your robes means that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay? And the tree of life then becomes obtainable for us once again. Okay? If we persevere to the end, as it says, and we are in the New Jerusalem, where there's not just one tree of life, but an entire orchard full of them on both sides of the river. And they yield their crop in abundance. There's a restoration that occurs, you see. And we are again offered eternal life through the tree. And there's a third tree that plays a part in their faith. This tree is kind of unknown. We don't know what kind of tree it was. Some people have said it's cedar. Some people have said it's pine or cypress or dogwood, like I mentioned. There are many legends about it, but no facts, really. Many churches, you know, in the East claim to have fragments of it hidden away in their church, but even that's not really certain. This tree was different than those two that I mentioned before because this one was dead. It was just a piece of lumber. Strong enough to hold the weight of a man, tall enough that he would hang out of reach of the ground. This tree may have been used before. You know, we're not sure. It may have already had nail marks in it. Somebody's blood may have already poured out upon it. We don't know that for sure either, but we certainly know that the ground under Golgotha was bloodstained for many people before Jesus. But this tree played a critical role in the redemption of the world because on it our Savior hung. On it, he offered himself up as a perfect offering for us. He washed our robes white as snow. And in doing this, he and he alone opened to us the way to the tree of eternal life. This dead tree, unlike the others, it existed fully in our reality. We think of the spiritual realm, we think of the earthly realm. In this reality, the earthly realm, this tree existed. And it acted as a catalyst for our souls. It was the instrument of our redemption, the instrument of his execution, the instrument of our redemption. This tree wasn't in Eden. It wasn't in the New Jerusalem. It was fully in our sinful, fallen world where we exist. It had to be part of this reality because the work that Jesus did had to be in this reality in order for him to accomplish that, to change our eternal reality. It's the only way we gain access to the tree of eternal life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal life was offered to us in the beginning, in the garden. And it is once again offered to us now. This is a promise from the words in Revelation that you just heard. So if you remember nothing of this Holy Week, if you remember nothing of this Good Friday, just remember it's about three trees. You can tell other people this too. It's just about three trees. The first one that caused our fall, the tree of knowledge. The second that was forbidden to us because of the first. And the third, the cross, that allowed us access to the third tree again, or the second tree, that allowed access for us to eternal life. See, for Christians, all other days are about the tree of eternal life, because that's where we live. This day, especially, above all others, is about that other dead tree. This day is about the cross, the one that he died on for us. Amen.